All right. Welcome, everybody, to another weekly Tuesday REI Vault huddle call. Today is Tuesday, October 6th, 2015, and welcome to the call. I see a couple of new people that are joining, Ed and Becky. Welcome. And Aaron, who is an acquisition manager for us, welcome. To a few other people, Steve in San Antonio, and I actually think that's either Valerie or Matt. So it's probably going to be light, and a few more people will join. So we welcome everybody. This is an opportunity to ask questions regarding real estate, deals that you have, questions for Chris and I, technical issues, marketing questions, what have you. We keep it pretty open-ended. So we keep the line, for those of you that are new, we keep the line muted just so we don't have any background noise. And if you have a question, you can raise your hand by pressing *5, and then Chris and I can bring you into the call automatically. So if you have a question, press *5, and the way this works is we'll answer questions, and then if there's no more questions, we'll end the call. We typically keep it to less than an hour. If you ever have any support needs, anything technical, marketing, please always email support@reivault.com. And if you have a deal-related question that you want to elevate to Chris or myself or somebody else in the group, email dealhelp@reivault.com. And then any recommendations, feedback, suggestions, we ask that you email suggestionbox@reivault.com. It goes into a support system. We've got 29 people now on the team with multiple people. So anyway, that's it. Chris, for quick updates on anything, do you have anything you want to share with the group?
I don't have anything real estate. I thought I was muted. I didn't know if I was muted or not. I don't have anything specific. I actually have another book that I'm reading. I was going to recommend a book. I just the guy's just publishing it now, so they have a bit of a launch special. But it's called 15, as in 1-5, the number 1-5, TimeSecrets.com. 1-5, TimeSecrets.com. And I thought it was pretty good so far. So I'm a fan of these type of books, so I read these at night. And as part of the he talks about productivity, and it has a bit of a different angle. I'm not going to kind of spoil the take of the book, but and if you go to that site, you can order his book, and then I took the upsell, which is like $30, and he gives you a digital copy of the book, so you have it now, but then he also gives you a series of videos afterwards, and they've been pretty good. So I would recommend that as a resource for any of you that might be struggling with time management or priority management, et cetera. He really gives some pretty good insights that I thought you guys would find interest. So it's, again, 1515 Time Secrets, 15timesecrets.com. And I'm not related to that site. I don't get paid any money for it. Just making a recommendation. And that was really the only thing that I had on my list.
Excellent. Any big nuggets so far that you're learning?
You know, this guy is very much for against a to-do list. And being that a to-do list has no time duration, so in other words, you know, you could have a to-do item, but there's nothing to differentiate one to-do that's 5 minutes versus another to-do that might be a two-hour project. And so his big thing is a calendar, that you need to live off of your calendar, that anything that you need to do should be scheduled, and therefore finding the time to do it, because when you look at it under the context of how long is it going to take and where is it going to fit into my schedule, then you're able to make better decisions about what to say yes to and what to say no to, because now you're looking at it in the context of everything else that you have in your life. You know, and so that was the one of the big things he talked about, and also something that we've heard of before, which is, you know, always work on your most productive and your most important task at the beginning of the day, and get that done and finished before anything else. And, you know, just really the mindset of, a couple mindsets is that, you know, even though we're all out here trying to make money and trying to, you know, build our business, that in the end, not, you know, the time is our most valuable asset, and that being busy is not necessarily the same as being productive. And so, you know, busyness and running around like a crazy lunatic, which I know that we've all been guilty of, and, you know, it's not necessarily being productive, you know, working on the right things, as Peter said, Peter Drucker also says. So it was interesting. And, the other thing was he did cover in one of those videos about, email. So I know email is a big obstacle for people. And, he gave some tips and advice on email and how to, and he has a rule. I'll just tell you this real quick, without getting too much into it. He calls it a 3-2-1-0, which is check email 3 times a day for no more than 21 minutes each session, and with the intent of getting to 0 inbox. So he calls it a 3-2-1-0, and he gives a lot of other tips inside of that framework. But a good book, you know, gives you kind of a higher level perspective rather than a tactical, hey, let's make a list and let's try to get everything done. It just kind of makes you think back and say, okay, you know, hey, how do I approach this so I can find the time to do the things that are the most important?
Yep. So I'll tell you my quick story, and you've heard this, Chris, but I had a complete meltdown in 2008. I had 40 employees building a company. We were highly profitable. Things were great. I was a CEO, and I was absolutely miserable. I thought I was a good manager at time, and especially multitasking. And what happened was I literally melted down. I never had enough time. I was always behind the clock, and I gained a lot of weight at the time. I think I was 40 pounds heavier than I am now, and it had a crazy impact on my family, my two young daughters and my wife. And I actually had a coach, a guy that helped me, and it was the phone. And I was basically, I just couldn't, it was like the Ed Sullivan show of, you know, flipping saucers and plates, and everything just came crashing down. I ended up taking a 6-week sabbatical. I would have never done it. Actually, it was a coach that forced me to. He said, okay, effective right now, you get to bring your laptop and your phone, you're leaving it here, and tell the team that they're running the show and let the inmates run the asylum. It was one of the best things I've ever done. So to sum up a couple of things, one is you got to change what your habits in the past. I cannot work without having a calendar. That's really been an impact. I don't do anything without it having on my calendar. And the other thing that I've done, you've done too, Chris, is there's a product called Schedule One. And that's what Chris and I use. There's a lot of scheduling tools that I push out the schedule to everyone. If it's anything that's longer than a 5 to 10 minute discussion, I have to have it scheduled. But I don't want to have to go back and forth. The whole back and forth is trying to figure out a time. I just push my schedule, and I have a couple of blocks a day, different types of schedules depending upon what I want to have done. And that's really freed up my time. That's number one. Number two, the whole email. It's really easy. And Chris, we got to do this. We need to do it for Aaron on the call, and record a video on how you process emails via Gmail. Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Filtering. That changed my life. When you and I came together, you remember you looked at my inbox?
Yeah.
I had 18,000 unread emails. And if I look at my inbox right now, I have 28 emails, and I'll process those in about 3 minutes, and that was all by you. So we need to get a video out, because I think that would really help for anybody that struggles with just email madness. We actually use another product. If you've got a team, everyone out there on this call or listening to a recording, if you've got more than one person, more than just you, I would recommend using a product called Slack. That's really been helpful for us. Slack is it's like Skype, text, email, all in one, a good communication tool, and we actually don't use email as a team very often. We use project scheduling tools, and we have huddle calls. So our team, the REI Vault team, has 2 huddle calls a week. They're typically 20 to 25 minutes where we catch up, and they're structured. Everybody goes around. It's basically a quick update in terms of your deliverable metrics. So the second thing is the each person on the team, and we have the managers on the call within the group. So of 29 people, we typically have about 8 or 9 that are actually on the call, and they go through their metrics. So everyone actually walks through their particular area of responsibility for an update. And then the last is steps. And we do not use the time on a huddle call to try to solve problems. It's always separate. So it's just an opportunity. And that's really changed our life substantially, especially with all the moving parts. So we need to do that, Chris. We need to put a couple videos together, put that on the plan. With that, let's go ahead and open up. I see that a couple of questions here. And the first one is, looks like Ed and or Becky in Oregon. I'm going to open you guys up in just a second. And then if you have a question that you want to ask, don't be shy. If you've got a question, it's probably relevant to a lot of other people. So just press star 5, bring you on the call. And Becky, you are live.
Hello, Gary and Chris. This is Becky Cassavant, and Ed's online as well. I just wanted to ask, we're just in the process of setting up the campaign, and we need to get the appropriate mailing address, and it's set up right now with our home phone number. I mean, we haven't approved it at that, but you were mentioning different phone numbers, and I was wondering, isn't it better to use a phone number besides our home phone number, and how do you go about that?
Things. So for the numbers that are going to be on the primary marketing campaign, we will actually we will buy the phone numbers, make sure they're clean so they're not getting a lot of wrong numbers, either local numbers or 800 numbers depending upon what we're mailing, and we will actually set everything up, including the pre-recorded message. You don't have to do anything. You will want a phone number for the offer letters that will go out. So any kind of offer after you talk to the seller, those are going to be your best leads, somebody you've already talked to, and follow-up letters. And I would recommend a number that you're going to answer most of the time. So that could be your office line. If not, we can set up a line for you. That's not a problem. It's something that you probably want to think about. I'd say 90% of us in the group, we drive it to either the acquisition manager or whoever's going to be talking to the sellers, and then have a voicemail on that. It could be a cell phone, an office line, et cetera. These are people who are going to be calling because you've sent them an offer, and they probably, you know, want to discuss the offer, finalize it. And those calls should be answered if they can be, otherwise a very brief personalized message. And again, we can set up, if you guys are really busy and you want to do that, we can set up Pat Live for you. And take care of that. But
yeah, we might want to do that, but we'll probably wait until we get started and see how it goes first. But in terms of people that have been sent offers, I think we could send it to our home phone. However, our home phone, our regular phone company, in some cases hasn't been entirely reliable, and our cell phone is not, well, it drops a lot too where we live because we're rural. And so I was thinking that possibly it might be a better idea to have a phone that transfers to our home phone, just because if our home phone goes out, then we could have them transfer it to a different number, and maybe it'd be...
Could you, Becky? Becky, you could set up a Google number for free and have that forward. You can have that set up to forward. Maybe it rings 3 times and then there's a voicemail. I would turn the option, if you're going to do that, I would turn off the option that says, please hold while we connect you. I can't remember what Gmail or Google says, but they have a standard message. I would just have it automatically forward and then have a voicemail. And if they leave a voicemail, that can be emailed to you. That might be an easy route. We could set up a phone number for you, or we could have Pat Live answer those calls as your assistant at your office. And if it's a good call, they can try to do a live connect. only negative with that is a little bit, you know, you're gonna have a little bit of a bill. I think they're $80 a month. So if you could avoid it, I think it's a Google Voice. Chris, do you have a recommendation on that?
Yeah, the Google Voice is probably the best option, because then you could adjust it on the fly and just route it wherever you want it to go. I'm trying to think of this, if there's another service like that outside of Google Voice, but to me that seems like the best option. Because then also, the nice thing is that the other option would be a Skype number, you know, but then the nice thing about the Google Voice number is you can set up forwarders on it, so eventually when you get somebody that is doing the calls or answering those calls for you, then you can also kind of see the calls coming in and see what the message is and et cetera, so it gives you a bit more control.
Yeah, and Becky, if that's the direction you want to go and you need some help setting it up, just send an email to support@REIVault, and the team can get something set up for you. It's not very difficult. It's free. We like it. I think the main thing is it's just have a personal greeting, and because it's going to be for follow-up letters and offer letters. I think that would be fine.
Okay, and then in terms of the mailing address, I've checked into the options a little bit, not with the post office yet, but you were saying that certain places will forward to a physical address, and are you talking about the post office that will do that, or like a UPS store?
A lot of the mailboxes, et cetera, UPS stores will do that. Sometimes they'll charge you a fee. You know, the other way to do it is if they don't forward, it's really what you're going to do is you're going to get a stack of return postcards. Typically,
right.
2-4% of all the mail will get returned, because we put a service requested, or return service requested on a material, so they come back.
Right.
And the idea is that if they come back undeliverable, A, you'll have vacants that you can track down and skip trace. And you can also quickly remove those from being mailed a second or a third time, or correct the mail address right out of Podio. And there's a video for you guys or anybody else. There's a video on the training site at REIVault.com. There's a training video on how to quickly enter those in the return mail Podio application. There's a serial number on the postcard. There's a little video that walks you through it. But you really only have to go to the PO box, mailboxes, et cetera, you know, once every month. I don't think you have to do it more often, because most of those postcards are going out, you know, every 60 or 90 days, so you'll have time. So that's not a big deal. If you were to do that and you can't get forwarding, then I'd on the offer letter, where you're actually doing an offer, I would put your home address or wherever you pick up mail, because if somebody sends you a contract in the mail, those are the ones you want to get back quick.
Yes, exactly.
And that's fine. So, we can have different mailing addresses on different pieces. And, yeah.
Okay.
All you'd ever have to do is, if you want to change something, just email support@REIVault.com and try to be real clear in the subject and in the body of what you're trying to accomplish. You get a ticket number, and the team will make the change and confirm. And they'll try to do that pretty quickly. Those are two-minute changes for them.
Okay. And so are you saying that it doesn't matter if it's a straight post office box because they just put, like, sweet in front of it?
You want to make sure that whatever address you set up, that you can have a physical address. Like, I have a UPS box, and so does Chris, a lot of us. And so there's a box number, you know, 408 or 133. So we get the mailing address of that place, and then I put STE or suite 408 or STE. We don't use a number sign because it looks like an apartment. And
yeah,
our
right.
team will help. Our team will figure that out for you. But I wouldn't do a PO box. You guys are in Oregon, even in a rural area, unless you are marketing in a rural area. Where PO boxes are commonplace, your response rate will actually be lower with the PO box.
Uh-huh.
I'd really try to get a local number or a physical mail address.
So if you have so-and-so street, and then if you have, like, D123 for the box number, is that acceptable?
That's fine. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
STED123, that would be absolutely fine. And by the way, we can, when we see that, the team actually goes out, they take that address that you provided, they actually go out to Google and make sure we can find the mailing address as a physical delivered mailbox. They do that because they want to make sure that it works properly. That's one of the steps in the QA that the team does. And they'll come back to you if there's any problems.
Okay, cool. All right, thank you.
Cool. Awesome. I'll put you back on mute and bring in another caller. It looks like Art. And Art, you're live.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Gary?
I'm great, Art. How are you?
I'm bad, phenomenal.
Awesome.
Share it.
Just got people throwing properties at me left and right. What can I tell you?
You are a money magnet.
I just don't know how to stop them. They just say, well, if you like this one, I have 7 others. And then I get on the next call. Well, I have 9 other properties if you want them. So, yeah, it's been that's why I paused my marketing. I just can't keep up with it.
good problem to have, huh, Art?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Well, I'm not complaining, and the good thing is that they're all in fairly decent areas. I mean, some of the properties are shit, but you're going to get that. But some of them are halfway decent, and they're rented, and I'm losing my shyness and stop listening to what they say what price they want, and I just tell them, I said, well. I'm just going in and saying, well, the sales right in your street are about half of what you're asking me to purchase your property with. So how can I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Help me out. Help me out here.
Right.
So, yeah, and then they come down. It's amazing. One guy, he wanted $50,000 when we settled on 2 properties. He wanted to walk away with $18,000. For 2 properties, I said, okay, I'll make it work. I got 2 properties under contract. He's going to net 18. I'll net 18. So it'll work.
Oh, very good.
Art, I'm going to make you an ethical bribe. Record some of those calls, and actually this will go for others like Graham and a few others. Record some calls, some good calls and sort of things that actually have worked for you or you've had a good response, and A will transcribe. So that we can start building even more scripts for people based on their style, and we'll throw some free mail credits to buy you even more houses when you turn your mail back on. How about that?
Okay. Yeah, that's
love
fine.
Yeah, that would be real helpful. I know that we're all trying to, especially a library where we can have more good stuff for our sales team or ourselves. That would be awesome. So anybody that, if you have some really good recordings, send them in. We'll give you a thank you bonus for contribution.
Okay, that's good. So my question today is, since I'm getting quite a few of these under contract, I'm kind of getting backed up getting these properties out to my investor base. I've done a couple of different things, but not everybody has opted in, and as you know, I'm using Infusionsoft, okay? So I can't really use that platform unless they've opted in or given me permission to add their name onto my list in that scenario. So I'm thinking about maybe using a service like AWeber or MailChimp. I don't know if you guys, when you first started out,
MailChimp would be my recommendation. You can copy and paste the email addresses and just drop them in there. The forms are double opt-in unless you go through the API and you use something like lead pages, right? In order to circumvent the opt-in, it's going to be double opt-in, but you can always just take emails and copy and paste them or upload a CSV file and off to the races you go. So that I would recommend them.
Okay.
I wouldn't recommend AWeber if you wanted to go with an alternate, would be GetResponse. But the only thing I found in my testing is I get response or emails ended up more in the spam folder than MailChimp.
Okay. All right, good. That was my question. Okay. I haven't bagged the elephant yet, but it's still alive.
Okay. Well, that's good. So I'm glad to hear that things are still continuing to move in the right direction. So very happy
yeah.
for that.
Yeah, no, it is. It's, you know, it's just, you got to, just, it, there's no two ways about it. You got to hustle. You don't hustle, you're dead.
Yeah,
you just
exactly.
hustle. So, thank God I'm a hustler.
Hey, if you,
well, keep us posted, and then I can easy. Yeah.
Art, have you looked at your metrics? Have you ordered a CEO deal dashboard for us to provide you back the metrics?
I don't think I have.
All right. I'm going to I'll make sure that I'll just have that set up for you, and I think you'll like it. Love the feedback. And anybody else, all of you should have the deal dashboard in Podio. And there's a video, there's a training video on how to use it. I'll set it up for you, Art, because I didn't see it. I think it'd be great to see what your metrics look like. So I'll have that taken care of for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Cool. All right. So looks like we have Justin. Justin in San Diego, you are live.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey.
So I got an email last night from, is it Dana or Dana?
Okay.
Dana.
Dana?
Yeah, Dana. Dana.
New member on the team who sent me this really great email about this new shipwrecked list that you guys have developed. And so she did a great job of breaking it down by who are the different components of the shipwreck list: divorce, probate, estate, sale, eviction, FSBO, FLBO, I'm guessing that's for lease by owner, DF, and TR. I have no idea what those ones are.
DF, TR. I'll look.
Okay.
Do you know what the ticket number is? I'll look at it.
Yeah, 12293. Anyway, I'm just wondering, this shipwreck campaign, I'm guessing this is something newer, and she's telling me that she wants to mail these people at a 10-day frequency, and then we'd refresh and get the list and get new property records every 60 days. And she says, I'd expect we'd get around 223 new properties every 60 days. So out of the chute, I'm at 1,100 names. Is the thought process there that because this is the first time that we've pulled this list, we're getting a much bigger count, and then when we pull it again 60 days from now, we're only going to be pulling new, and we expect to only get around, you know, 225 new names each every 60 days? Is that the thought process there?
It is, yeah. That's
okay.
Exactly it. And actually, I'm going to make a recommendation because it is San Diego in your market. Justin, I'll make another recommendation and shoot it out as to what I would do. A tiny variation, so you'll see that.
Yep.
Not recommended anywhere else, but actually in the California market, I'm going to have a slight twist because I'm doing that. We have a lot of code violations and a lot of tax liens in that list. And they'll also be looking at some of the other custom lists that you pulled to see if there's any duplicates. But every 10 days, that's the recommendation. We're looking back, the way that we're doing this is we're looking back over the last 6 months.
Okay.
And pulling the last 6 months, and we're appending that list for equity. So we're pulling a 55% combined loan-to-value. So we pull the big list. It's pretty massive. And then we have to append to it all the mortgage data so that we can pull out and cherry-pick just the stuff that has equity.
And are you saying that that has been done on my list of 1,114 or not yet?
That would be the filtered list. That would be
okay.
That would be the filtered list that we would recommend. And
okay.
We can do it. So I will make notes specifically. You'll understand when I make them. It's specific to California, specific to your market, because you're kind of in a tougher market, right, per deal. So anyway, you'll see my notes on that.
And so what piece are we dropping them, and where is the caller being routed to when they call?
I'll put that into the notes, because I don't want to say it on this call yet, because it's just California.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can update that then for me.
Yep.
Okay, has anybody mailed this shipwreck list yet?
Yep.
That wasn't the same one that I mailed like a couple months ago, that OF, what do we call it, OFA or OFP or something like that?
It's going to be a different variation.
Okay, so different provider or same provider?
This is going to be code violations. What I'll do, Justin, this is really one to take offline.
Okay, no problem. No problem. Okay, that was it then. I can.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, and Gary, if you can just answer through the ticket, then that would be great, and I can let everybody else go.
Yeah, yeah, perfect. Any other questions, Justin, for now?
No, not today. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bring in, I think this is Steve Carlson. Steve, you're live.
Hey, Steve Carlson. How you guys?
Hey, Steve.
Yeah. Speaking of the shipwreck list, I am in negotiations with a guy right now from that shipwreck list, and I don't know how I got the deal, but it's a great looking property as long as I can lock it up. But he just, I don't know, it was probably 3 months ago, maybe four. His house was flooded, and ServPro, or one of those disaster, emergency relief companies, was called out to the house. And, they dried it out and all that sort of stuff. And my in-laws just went through the same problem. Their house was flooded. They called ServPro, or one of those companies like ServPro. And they dried out the house. So, that caused a lot of damage. And for some people who don't have insurance, it can be extremely expensive and would create a lot of other motivated buyers. I don't know if there's a way to get a list of from ServPro or one of those other folks, but that would be an awesome list, I would think, to get a hold of.
So, I will. So. This address was on that list, correct?
It was on the shipwreck list, yes.
Okay, so I think we're already pulling it. I think we already have it. I'm actually trying to find the list. That is part of the judgment. So code violations and judgment, one of the things that we've been able to pull have to do with those types of insurance, so insurance claims and flood, and and it also includes things like IRS liens and judgments and neighbor complaints, fires. So if there's been a fire, if there's trash that's actually been on the property, any of that stuff. And so I think we're already pulling it.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I didn't know if there was how they might report addresses, but I know that for a while there was a service where you could log into and get fire data, recently burned houses.
Yeah, let me give you.
I think you got a paper now. Yeah,
check this out. Okay, abatement charges, code infraction charges, delinquent tax, demolition lien, Department of Commerce, Department of Health Services, estate taxes, fire protection lien, home repair lien, labor expense, postponed property taxes, personal properties, notice of special tax lien, unpaid rubbish, unpaid water charges, flood, utility service, vehicle use tax, violation of city code, weed abatement.
Yeah.
We went for the gamut on that. And
yeah. Hopefully any of the above, not all the above.
Yeah.
Yeah, our list here in San Antonio is pretty small, but I can see in some counties that would be a pretty large list. So, nice.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Another question on skip tracing. I'm really backed up because the guy I was using to change my addresses from the return cards left, and so I got, I don't know, 500 yellow cards, postcards that I need to get moved to a address change status, and to go through that skip tracing process is a pretty tedious action. It'll take 2 to 3, 4, or 5 minutes per postcard. It could be a time-consuming process. And we're using Intella something. Intelliant, is that it?
Okay.
And so anyway, I guess my question is there a better source that maybe I upload a large list to?
Well, the place I would go, I think a lot of us, at least that I've talked to in the group, Chris, you may have a different perspective, is TLO. I'd seriously consider using TLO. That's actually, I think it's TransUnion, and the reports are pretty inexpensive. They're $1 to $4, and they give really, really good reports. Most of the people that are charging $20 to $25 are making a massive margin.
Yeah.
So that's one. We do have on the plan, I mean, our goal is to actually be able to have it done at a Podio, so you could click a button and have that done, but we need more people in the group. We haven't seen enough interest and request for that, but we were thinking of centralizing. Our stuck is, would there be enough demand within the group? We really need to get more people into the group to make it worthwhile. And then, there's a 7-day process. You typically have to have a physical inspection. They come and make sure that your computers are, and actually we don't have a central. I got rid of the office so that we could keep the cost low and the service charges low. So we got to figure out how to get a site license for that. But that was the goal. I think maybe by the beginning of next year we may have that if there's enough demand. Because what people should be doing is any of the postcards that come back with a yellow sticker that says undeliverable or vacant, those should all be skip traced and track those sellers down with the VA, because you're going to buy properties doing that.
Yeah.
Not the sticker that has a different mailing address, just the undeliverables and vacant.
Yeah, I guess it'd probably be easier for me to actually, I think it's probably closer to 1,000 postcards. It'd be easier for me to scan 1,000 postcards to my VA than train somebody locally how to do it. But scanning 1,000 postcards is a pretty big chore too, but probably simpler. Now, TLO, would I have to have a site visit if I signed up with TLO, or is that just a subscription?
Most likely. If anybody else is on this call that's gotten approved for TLO, if you put up your, just press *5. But typically it's a site visit. They come in within 7 days, they just make sure everything looks good, and then they give you the green light. But actually, here is Justin. Hold on, I'm going to bring Justin. Justin, you have TLO?
Hey, Gary. Hey, so we've had TLO for probably a couple of years now. As a side note, we absolutely use it on everything from working with a new contractor to anybody who basically wants to be a vendor to us now. We TLO them just because I've had just a really bad run of luck a couple of years ago. But that's a side story. Anyway, they told us they were going to do a site visit. We actually had to give as an office. We had a spare office in a 35-unit building we owned in Arizona. They never came out and did the site visit. And I since have added my cousin as an registered user on TLO, and they never did a site visit to her house. I mean, my cousin is a college student who is just doing the searches for us for extra money. So I know they say they're going to do it. I just don't see how they can logistically do a site visit to everybody. So I don't know why I would necessarily let that be a deterrent for the threat of a possible site visit, because it never happened to us.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, and we like it just because the way we look at it is, all you know, if you send out, what, 4 cards – 4 out of the mailers, 2, 3, 4, and 5 go out, and you don't remove them from the list or append the address, you're wasting $2 there. So for us, it's money well spent to do it.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's good insight, Justin. That is awesome. All right. Cool.
Steve, any more questions for Justin on that? We've lost Steve. Steve, you still there?
I'm sorry, I'm muted.
Sorry, Steve. Is that helpful? So
I apologize.
I think you should go sign up for TLO.
Yeah, that sounds.
They will
like
ask
plan.
You. One of the questions is, do you have a physical office? And you'll want to make.
And we do now. I do now. It's I don't know how what their security requirements are, but we've got lockable files and all that sort of stuff, so it shouldn't be a problem.
Perfect. Perfect.
There is a
pretty simple way to get the spreadsheet names and addresses in a spreadsheet without a lot of work. Just by you take those postcards with the serial number and enter them, and you can get a quick output of just the ones to skip trace. You want me to put a little video together on that?
That would be fantastic for my VA and or assistant. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I've watched your videos on how to change the addresses, and that's helpful. If we could do it, like I said, I've been delinquent for 3 months or 4 months, and so now I've got 1,000 postcards sitting in the office or more.
Okay.
Anyway, that would be wonderful. Couple comments. Last week we talked briefly about Lou Brown. I did make contact with Lou. He signed me up for his House Monster program and his three-day seminar. I think that would be great. Great to get engaged with Lou. Like you said, he's got some great paperwork that I've heard from you. Gary is phenomenal, and from other folks locally. So
awesome. Yeah, let me know. Do you know where the training is going to be at?
His next one is November in Atlanta, November 6, 7, and 8.
Okay.
I can't make that because I've got a commitment on the 8th already. And the next one is in late January in Orlando.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm actually going to bring Lou to a call. We're trying to think of whether it's going to be in the next couple weeks for one of these calls to actually talk about owner financing and address. Basically, I've been gathering a number of questions. Graham had one a couple weeks ago on some scenarios.
Yep.
I was going to just use as an open opportunity to ask Lou a bunch of questions around the way that he buys. He basically teaches a lot on making subject to or owner financing options.
Good. Love that.
Cool. Awesome.
Last question or comment, I guess, is about time management. Thanks for opening up the call with the time management stuff. I think that's something we all struggle with. I recently purchased a calendar planner called the Passion Planner. Not sure you guys are familiar with that, but I've only been using it about 3 or 4 weeks, but I really like it. It is a paper planner. It's not electronic. But if anybody's looking for a new planner for next year, this is the one to check out, in my opinion.
Yeah, I made a note of it. I never heard of that before.
Yeah, it's really good. A little bit, I was using Grant Cardone's planner there for a while, loved it, and largely because it made you write down your goals and twice a day.
Yes.
But this is that plus a whole lot more, in my opinion.
Awesome.
Oh,
I remember when when we got together in Dallas, Steve, you just started with that the Kevin Cardone stuff. So
yeah, Grant Cardone.
Or Grant Cardone, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like this better. It's better suited for me. A lot more details, and if you follow it, it forces you to write down your vision, your passion, your monthly goals, your quarterly goals, your daily goals, etc. So, as long as it's put to use and the tool is used the way it's intended, it seems very powerful. And I would love to see that video on Google or Gmail. I'm not as bad as you are, Gary, but I do have 2,400 unread emails in my inbox. Any
oh, that's funny.
Would be very, very helpful. Yeah.
I have three right now. speech. Well, we definitely have to do that.
Thank you. Appreciate the call, guys.
All right, thanks.
All right, well, if you've got a question, press star 5. And if we don't have any more questions, then we will wrap for the day. Here is 503, it looks like. We've got Becky and Ed in Oregon. You are live. Becky or Ed, did we lose you?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Hi there, Gary and Chris. Hey.
Hey.
Quick question for you. I'm dealing on a pre-foreclosure property. It's only sale date is October 28th. The seller has liver cancer, owes about $275. It's not marked as short sale or anything like that. So it owes about $275 with the back payments. And it's listed right now at $435. It's in a very hot section of Portland. One of the, actually the top two zip codes of the, you know, the most buyers and sellers of the list we got yesterday. The seller is trying modification, but he's on disability and, he's trying modification, but I don't think he thinks he can pull it out, but he's edging ever closer to the October 28th sale date, which may or may not get postpone, and his realtor has it listed at $435 right now, which seems to be too high, but it, like I said, buyers are like bidding up that section, especially that section of Portland, like hotcakes right now. And I'm wondering, you know, since you guys tend to advocate more of a making a full price offer to get the seller in contract, I mean, you know, I haven't interacted with the realtor yet. I think the seller could be persuaded to go ahead and do an offer rather than do a modification. But my question is, I don't know if this realtor will only take a full price offer or what he'll actually sell for. What where should he be coming in at? The tax value is about $300,000. But, you know, they got listed at $435 right now.
What's the seller willing to sell it for what they owe?
Well, he didn't really know. I mean, he's been ill and kind of depressed, and I asked him, you know, the other day, what would you take? And he said, I don't know. I think he's trying to buy as much time in there as he can. He's ready to move out, though. He's got some money to move. But he doesn't know, and his realtor knows that there's an October 28th sale date, but I don't think they're actually trying to push an offer to get something into the lender to, you know, postponement.
Is it a pretty house, or does it need work with upside?
Just needs paint.
I mean, I'll just tell you, Chris, you may add, these are deals that Chris and I don't do. So anything that looks like this, it's got a lot of moving parts, and we don't do these types of things. We just pass and let somebody else kind of work it. However, to me, can you get the realtor out of the deal? Could you pick it up possibly? If you picked it up for what's owed plus maybe 10 grand to the seller or 5 grand to the seller, can you still make money and flip it to somebody else? It does sound like it's a retail sell, but could you find somebody that would want to buy it for $350 or $325 or $315? If you could get into it for $275 for what's owed, and can you move it to somebody else that wants to get in, you know, with a $50,000-$75,000 of equity? I mean, that's how I would do it. It doesn't sound like there's anything there unless you get the realtor out. But again,
you have to get the realtor out.
Yeah, Chris and I, would you agree we wouldn't touch this thing with a 50?
Well, typically on a deal like this, I mean, I typically would, let me see, am I mute? Okay. On a deal like this, I would typically, you know, seek somebody else who I know does this type of transaction and maybe try to work a referral with them, right? Somebody who's used to doing short sales, et cetera. The couple of things that come to my mind is that one question is, if this was a deal that you could get, you know, because you figure if it's 275 is owed and then seller wants a certain amount of walk-away money. You know, there's a lot of nuances, right? Because this, you know, if you're going to do a short sale, technically the seller isn't supposed to get any walk-away money. So you have to kind of maneuver around that, you know, purchasing personal property, et cetera. I'm not giving you legal advice, but, you know, there's some nuances associated with the seller walking away with money when a lot of the short sale documents say specifically that the seller is not to receive any money. So you're kind of, you know, kind of a gray area there. And in addition to that, you know, would you be prepared to close? Because if you go through the realtor and you submit an offer and that postpones the sale and puts it in a position where now the seller, the bank is going to consider a short sale, you know, if you're not thinking of closing on it and then reselling it, you know, the short sale may have certain restrictions attached to it, which would make it difficult for you to wholesale or double flip that property if you were to find another buyer. You know, so those are, you know, you start to get into that and you start to get into a lot of scenarios and things that really you have to kind of know how to navigate around them. And so that's why typically on deals like that, we refer them out to someone who in the area who's doing short sales and so on.
Ed, what do you think the property's worth? Like, what should that property sell on the MLS?
Yeah, I think I mean the low end of Zillow has it at 350. It's a hot area, really hot, smoking hot right now. I suppose, you know, maybe maybe 330 or something like that. I don't, or 350. It could be 350. You know, offers are being bid up. This is not a short sale. I'm confident of that, but I believe all the listing agent has it listed up at 435 too high, unless I'm missing something, because he's got it listed.
The seller, he lives there, right?
Yes.
I mean, the other way to do it, and again, I don't know the foreclosure laws. I don't do this anymore, but this is what I did full time. I've done a couple hundred of these types of things. This is way before the market imploded. But if, let's say he's behind $30,000, you could actually work a forbearance plan. Instead of doing a loan modification, do a forbearance plan, which means he basically there's going to be shown of some financials. You're going to probably have to come up with a little bit of money and buy some time. Depending upon who the lender is, most of the lenders will do this because they want to get the loan back performing. So let's say it's $30,000, and maybe you can come in with $10,000 or $15,000 in cash and then buy the property with the right agreement subject to when you take over the property. You put the property into a trust. You got to make sure that you're following the laws, right? In California, we actually have to use a special type of equity purchase agreement to do that. Where we do all the disclosures and give them a 7-day out clause. And then you actually are taking control of the property, and then you can go ahead and sell it. And maybe you do something with the seller where, you know, you're coming in, you're buying the property, you're getting a forbearance plan so you can continue to make payments and then sell it for whatever you can sell it, you know. Drop the price and keep the realtor involved. And then you can have the same realtor in it, but now it's held in trust. And that's another way to do it. The negative is you're going to have some money. You're going to have to come out of pocket a little bit because the forbearance plan, they're going to want a wire transfer. Does that make sense? The borrower stays in control of the property. I'm sorry, the borrower is still on the mortgage. They have a signed forbearance plan to give them some relief. The bank's happy with that. You got to take title. The way that you'd hold title is most likely in a trust. And then you'd be buying the property for equity. And then maybe you give them, you know, once you resell the property or, you know, whatever, within 6 months, you give them the additional money. So you could go down that path and make money. You might make 25 or 50 grand. But, you know, just make sure that you're following the laws. I can't remember what the laws are up in Oregon.
I would, if you're not used to doing this type of transaction, I would try to find and see if you could partner up with another investor who knows, who does this kind of stuff all the time with these, you know, dealing with this type of situation and try and see if you can get a percentage of the deal out of it. And then, you know, that's a big rabbit hole there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, I'll put you back on hold, Ed. And looks like we've got one more, and then we'll do a wrap. I believe this is Valerie or Max in California.
Hi, you guys. This is Valerie.
Hi, Battery.
Hi, I just wanted to say thank you to you and your team. You guys are really creative with solving the problems that we have over here in California, and we just wanted to say we appreciate you, and thanks for all of your help.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Valerie. Very, very much appreciated. By the way, every time that we set it up about a month ago, but there's a survey that comes out after any ticket asks for any comments, and we'd love positive or negative feedback. The team is constantly trying to adjust and get better, so the feedback is always helpful and doesn't always have to be good. If you have constructive feedback, please provide it. The only way they'll improve.
Will do.
Thank you very much, Valerie. Awesome.
You're
Any
welcome.
Questions for today?
Well, we did have one. We have, I ran into a homeowner who is elderly and she lives alone. She wants to sell the property, but she's in the beginning stages of dementia. And she doesn't recognize it and she won't see it, but I got her family information there in Arizona. And I talked to them and they confirmed that, you know, she does have this disease and she should not be making big financial decisions on her own, but, you know, she's stubborn. Other than a power, the family wants us to sell the property on her behalf, but I know that we need a power of attorney, and I just got off the phone with them. Actually, while I was on this call listening to the conference call, I had to jump on with them, and they just wanted to see, you know, what progress is being made, and I just, I'm getting ready to reach out to our title company to see if there's any documentation that can be done, and just wondered if you guys know of anything short of a power of attorney that the family can get on her behalf, a specific power of attorney, just to sell the property.
Chris?
Yeah, that's really, I'm just thinking about title underwriting, because you got the deed, you know, they can get permission, but the thing I would be really particular about is the deed. When it all comes down to it.
Here's what I do. I wouldn't reach out to the title company. It's going to immediately create a red flag. Anytime that there's any kind of yellow flag, pink flag, purple flag, mm-hmm. that says anything, that they kill the deal. I would get a real estate attorney. I'd get a real estate investor attorney. I can give you the one. He's in Walnut Creek. He's helped me on tons of deals. And he's expensive, but you probably don't need a lot of time from him. And he could probably give you the recommendation and maybe get involved if there's really a deal and there's money to be made. I'd get a real estate attorney. When I bought our house, the lady was actually blind. And so I got Kevin involved. And actually, Kevin actually knew the other attorney that was representing and made a call before they even contacted the attorney. Super complicated, and he was responsible for helping me buy my primary residence. So that's what I would do with a good real estate, not just a real estate attorney, a real estate investor attorney.
Investor attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Send an email to support@reivault.com, and then I can give you his contact info. I'll make
I will. Oh, great. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Awesome. All right. Well,
perfect.
Chris,
thanks again.
Wrap any thanks, Valerie. Any final remarks before we close off today, Chris?
No final remarks. Just maybe we got to do that. We'll as we do the whole Gmail video that we talked about, might be a good idea for to create that for Aaron, but at the same time create it in a way so that we can share it with everyone as a resource. So we'll put that on the queue, and Gary and I will discuss it and get that off, figure out what the best delivery method for that, and we'll get that done.
Chico, you're on the hook live. You know that I've been asking you for that video for the REI Vault Group for over how long, Chris? So you're now on the hook for delivering.
Yeah. I can't make the excuse that, oh my God, I can't because I'm so inundated with my email. I'm not. Yes.
Awesome. All right, everybody. Have a great week.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everyone.